Welcome to Week 10's edition of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Due to heavy rains in the forecast for Friday, Cookeville and Upperman have rescheduled their home games from Friday to Thursday night. The Bees take on top-ranked Watertown at 7 p.m. in Baxter,
while the Cavaliers host first-year startup program in Rockville at 7 p.m. in Cookeville. But first, we head to Monterey, where the single-A number 7-ranked Wildcats prepare to take on the Clay County Bulldogs, who rank number 10 in the single-A rankings. The Bulldogs and the Wildcats square off Friday night in Monterey for the single-A Region 4 championship.
I don't necessarily think it's an advantage. I mean, if anything, I think they've got the leg up because they played last week. For us, you know, it's been trying to get back into routine, trying to get back into the school routine is even more important than the football routine. It's trying to show up and focus from 8 to 3 and getting used to sitting in a desk again and having to go through that grind of being in school, not having some downtime and things like that. So if anything, I feel that they're the advantage because they're back on, they were back on normal routine a week before we were.
And you guys have been pretty lucky all season on the injury front. So just how are your guys' legs this week?
I mean, I feel that we're pretty healthy. Our kids seem to be, pretty healthy and nobody's in the training room, which is always good. Anytime you're walking by the training room and you don't see a lot of bodies in there, it's always a positive. And, last week was good for our guys to get away a little bit and just mentally uncharge, sit back for a little bit and just be a high school student. And that's what a lot of people don't realize, the grind from July, but it starts way before that. It starts, with your whole off season. And we try to do a really good job of making sure that our guys get some downtime from January through June and get them out of here a little bit early and get them out of here a few days where at 3 o'clock they can go home and just be a normal high school student. And so we feel that we do a good job with that. Then once you hit July, it's such a grind. It's a 5-6 day a week process every week. And so anytime you can give these guys a chance to get away and just be normal, to me, it's always a positive.
And you touched on it a little bit in the first question, but how have you guys looked with the sluggishness and the rust factor, your first 2 days back this week?
You hit it right on the head, rust and sluggish, that's for sure. And that's always your fear when you come back in. And, it's definitely a realization now instead of a fear for us. And so it's something that we're having to push through, and it's something that we're having to work through, and it's something that we've talked about, a lot in these 2 days, just trying to overcome a lot of the obstacles that come with taking time off. And then as a coach, you kind of question everything that you've done. Did you make the right decision by giving them time off and things like that? Every coach deals with those aspects, and every team deals with those aspects, whether it's time off or did you practice too much or, did you do enough? Did you not do enough? Things like that. And so we'll see. Hopefully we can overcome some obstacles and just find a way to be competitive. Clay County's a really, really good football team. Coach Johnson does a good job. Coach Dickerson, being a successful head coach and being a coordinator for a long time at a great program. Coach Johnson was given the golden keys. He inherited a great roster when he came in last year, and his county has made a push to make football the priority and given him a lot of flexibility in his schedule and hiring. It shows. And when you watch the product they put on the field, they're good. For us, we're just trying to find a way to be competitive.
Coach, this game is for the region championship. How important of a game is this, not just for the region, but for playoff seeding and home field advantage?
Everybody makes a bigger deal out of that stuff than what it is. You just got to go play. For us, it doesn't matter championship or not. Every night to us is a big game, and the hoopla of seeding and all that stuff, it sounds good, and yeah, it's big for your community, but at the end of the day, it don't matter where you play at. You got to go compete, and you got to go, there's a lot of teams that win on the road every Friday night. Crap, we won a good game on the road 2 weeks ago on the road, and nobody gave us a shot to win that game. And so, all that stuff, I think, sometimes is blown out of proportion to me and to the way that we're looking at it for our team. It's senior night, so it's the last opportunity that these young men are guaranteed to play at home. And we want to make that a good night for them. But ultimately, at game 9 of a guaranteed 10-game season, to us, we're counting down days with our seniors. We're counting down days with this team, because when you lose seniors, the team dynamic changes. So we're trying to just appreciate and live in the moment with these guys and this group of young men. And the rest of it, that's for everybody else to deal with. For us, it's just about caring about our team and doing what's best for our team.
Coach, you just pointed out that the onside kick in Monterey's last game against Bledsoe County was not necessarily really called from the sidelines, and that kicker Rene Talon mishit the ball. Hughes said that in the game of football, it's sometimes better to be lucky than good. York head coach Derwin Wright returns to the sideline this Friday night after missing his first game in over 27 years of coaching due to a medical emergency with his wife. Let's hear what Coach Wright had to say about his matchup with Livingston Academy.
Well, it's like you said, they're solid. They're solid up front. The skill folks, they've got lots of speed on the outside receivers. Just a very solid, strong football team.
And what do you think of their offensive and defensive line? Their skill receivers and their quarterback gets a lot of the attention, but I think up front they're as good as probably anybody I've seen this year.
I think that's the biggest improvement they've had. You know, they were young in the line the last 2 years, and we were a little bit older, and I think that was our advantage. But I'm like you. I think that they're very solid up front on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive line both.
Well, Coach, their last game before their bye week, White County had them down into the fourth quarter. Livingston was able to get a couple plays there at the end to make the score look a lot worse than it was. And you guys played White County right down the exact same way. That's got to give you some confidence that you play White County like that and that you can play Livingston that way.
Well, we lost four starters that game for the season. So, you know, that changes things a lot because we've got a lot of kids that are going to be playing that are freshmen and inexperienced.
In your game Friday night, the difference that I could tell, you know, on the stat sheet that we get is Sequatchie County really took advantage of third and fourth downs throughout the game, and they were able to extend some drives where you guys struggled a little bit.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. You know, we gave up. We had them a third and 27 and gave it up. You know, they were able to convert third downs and some fourth and shorts, and we weren't. You know, that could have been a much closer game than what the score shows.
In segment two, we will check in with York's opponent Friday night, the Livingston Academy Wildcats head coach Bruce Lamb, and we will see how things are going with the Cumberland County Jets. And we are back for segment two of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Livingston Academy's off to an 8-0 start, which is the best in school history. And let's check in with the Wildcats and Coach Lamb after their week 8 bye.
Absolutely. It was, you know, it was really good for our kids to get out and get away from me and me get away from them for a little while. You know, it's they get tired of seeing my face every day and listen to me and my voice. So it was good for everybody to get away and rest and get healthy.
How do you guys look on the injury front after your bye week heading into week 10?
Well, we've got everybody back healthy. I think they're, if they're not 100%, they're pretty close. Knock on wood, but we're pretty healthy right now.
And Nate Neely hasn't played the past several weeks at running back. Is this a week we see him back there in the backfield?
He will be back this week. Yes, sir. He is. His ankle is fully healthy now, and he's 100%.
And when he got nicked up, was this kind of the target date to try to get him back through the bye week, and maybe you can get through some of those games without him, and you've had someone step up and play really well in his place?
Absolutely. We were lucky enough to have Caleb Robinson back there. And, you know, he gave us some very great minutes, three exceptional games. This is what we were looking for, to rest Nate these 3 or 4 weeks and get him back and back healthy and 100%. We didn't need him to get, definitely don't need him to get hurt before the playoffs.
And with Caleb coming in there, and there wasn't a huge drop off, so now you've got Nate coming back, but you've got Caleb playing really well, and that kind of gives you a 1-2 punch there in the backfield that maybe you didn't have early in the season.
Absolutely. You know, you got two kids who both run the ball really well, and they're exactly opposite. You got Caleb, who likes to pick and choose his holes, and you got Nate, who likes to hit the hole at 100 miles an hour. So you got two different kind of kids running the ball, and they're both very successful at what they do.
So, Coach, you're off to 8-0 start, the best start in school history, and there's a lot of publicity around your team, and they're getting a lot of accolades. But you play your last two games on the road. Do you think that's a good thing to just get them away from Livingston and just get to focus on playing ball, and they don't have all that added pressure of playing at home?
Well, I mean, it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing, man. We're going to Jamestown, which is a very tough place to play, and then we end up going to Macon County, which is a very tough place to play also. And, you know, but it's good for us, like you say, to get away and get that experience being away, because I'm sure in playoffs, you know, we'll have some games away. And our kids, you know, they've taken everything really well. I've been very proud of what they've done so far. There's good group. They're very mature, and, you know, they just want to play ball. That's all they're worried about.
Coach, your last game against White County was a lot closer than that final score indicated. What did you think about that game after you've had some time to digest it and a little time off?
Well, I think White County's much improved. That's the first thing I think of. You know, the last 2 years, we had outscored them 70-something to nothing. And you know, they come out and go up on us 6-0 right off the bat. You know, they're very much improved, and Coach Frazier and his staff has done a great job. That's the first takeaway I get from it. And the second thing is, you know, we can't be going out and just going through the motions. We got to come out and play every week because we're going to get everybody's best game. And we need to come out each week and do what we're supposed to do and get it done.
In that game against White County, they were really determined to make you drive the ball for long periods of time and not give up just a big chunk play. And you guys went on a 15, 16, 17 play drive that lasted over half of the third quarter. Were you pleased with your offense's ability to drive the ball like that in a long series and not have to just score off big plays?
Absolutely. I mean, that's huge for our team to know that we can line up and drive the ball, because we do score on a lot of big plays. And, you know, for us to line up and drive it down the field like that, that's a huge confidence booster for us.
Cumberland County head coach Eric Ballou said his first shot at the Stone Memorial Cumberland County rivalry did not go as planned, and he thought his team had plenty to improve on for the remaining weeks of the season.
You know, I think Stone came out with an intensity that, you know, we didn't match. That was kind of the process throughout the game. You could tell up front that they were firing off low and hard. We didn't do a good job of, you know, matching that pad level as well as running their feet. And that's kind of where the game was established, was up front.
Your offense really had a tough time getting going Friday night, and that probably led into making the...
We were thin, especially in the box. You know, we lost Connor Cox, who's our most productive linebacker. Connor Cox is a special player, with him being a sophomore. Excited about what he brings. But with him not being on the field, he's kind of our general. We had some alignment issues defensively, and I think a large part of that was because we didn't have Connor on the field. With their tempo and that kind of mixing together, that's kind of where we struggled on defense. And offensively, up front, we were challenged, and unfortunately, we just kind of fell back and didn't compete the way I would have liked.
Stone looked like they were really putting a lot of pressure on you guys, bringing 5, 6, 7 guys. Did that seem to bother you guys a lot on offense?
Yeah, I think it did. I'm not so sure how much it was the blitzing, but it was more of their fire off the ball, them firing off the ball really hard. Whether they sent 4, 5, or 6, it really doesn't matter if you're not matching the intensity or the level of speed that they're firing off the ball. So I think that was more of the case as opposed to how many they were sending.
So Bledsoe will give you a lot of different looks on offense this Friday night. What are you focused on taking away first?
I think the big thing defensively is just getting lined up, taking away, or just not getting beat by alignment. There's times where it doesn't matter what they run. If you're not lined up, it really doesn't matter. Getting aligned on defense is a big thing. And I think offensively, a big part is us doing a good job of coaches is putting the right guys in right situations to make plays. I'm going to take ownership of that. I think I can do a lot better job of that as the offensive coordinator, is putting guys in positions to do what they do best. So that's going to be a big focus for us this week.
And Bledsoe has a really big, pretty looking running back. He plays safety too, but is he who you're kind of keying on?
He does do a good job. He's a threat certainly on film. And, you know, he's athletic and big, but the big thing with him is that kid plays really hard. So that's one thing that we're going to have to put an emphasis on. You know, we're going to have to play hard just like he does, is take away some of the things that he can do.
And what's your message to the team with 2 games in the season left?
It's to a point to where, you know, we're challenging, you know, what kind of person do you want to be? You know, I get where we are. I get the result of the first 8 games of the season, but we're challenging these guys. If you want to be a special person, it takes a special person to be able to overcome adversity that we have right now. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to mold kids into being productive members of society to become good young men. So that's where our focus is. You know, that's always been our primary focus, but there's a lot more emphasis on that from here on out.
In segment 3, we will check in with Cookeville head coach Jimmy Maynard and the Cavaliers, who play Thursday night at 7 p.m. against Rockville. We will also check in with the Pickett County Bobcats going for win number 2 on the year.
Welcome back to segment 3 of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Cookeville head coach Jimmy Maynard tipped his hat to Siegel's comeback attempt Friday night in Murfreesboro. Let's hear what else Maynard had to say about their win Friday night over the Stars.
Well, it was a very important win. You know, we struggled a little bit there on the end. You know, got a 3-touchdown lead and had all the momentum going our way with about 10 minutes left in the game. And Siegel, you know, scored a pretty quick touchdown. They took it down the field pretty quickly in a couple of minutes and got a score. And then, you know, we worked all week because they're notorious for onside kicks. They do it at any point in the game, and we were lined up ready for it, and they kicked it, it bounces off, and they get the ball back, and then they score again. So we have to we have to hold on down the end to win the game. And, you know, our kids fought hard, played hard, and, you know, we just they do a good job with their offense. They're very efficient. Their quarterback is a 3-year starter, good player. You got a good group of receivers in our offensive line. As I said last week, they've been their own worst enemy. They've been able to move the ball against everybody, but they've made mistakes with turnovers, and in that particular game they had no turnovers, so it makes it difficult. A good win for us, a region win that really, you know, got us our third region win, which we needed when we start talking about playoffs and that type of thing. So it was a good win for our kids.
Coach Cameron Harris found the end zone 4 times in the game Friday night against Siegel. What made him so successful running in the short yardage against the Stars?
Well, you know, we worked all week. They had been in the 50 and they'd been in a 4-3, and that's what they played the whole year long. Most of the time they've been in an odd front, but they played a 4-3 against Riverdale and did a really good job against Riverdale with their 4-3. So that's what we thought we would probably see, because we're very similar to Riverdale. We get in that game and they come out in a 3-3 stack, kind of had to abandon what our plan A was and go to plan B, and we were able to do that, running our get sweep and our counter and our power. Our offensive line did a really good job of, they blitzed us quite a bit, and they did a good job of picking up the blitzes and getting hats on the right people. And Cameron has really, you know, stepped up for us as of late. You know, he's a bigger back, and Cameron's a little deceptive with his speed too. Once he gets in open space, he's got a long stride. He, you know, but he does a great job with his vision and picking his holes and getting where he needs to be. And just a big game for him. Not only did he, you know, have 153 yards and 4 touchdowns, he had a blocked field goal early in the game that was a big play for us. Had like 3 or 4 tackles for losses, and just a really big night for Cameron Harris.
This is the last regular season home game for this group of seniors. What has this group meant to you over their 4 years here?
Well, this is a great group. It's a smaller group. They weren't, you know, as freshmen, they struggled a little bit as freshmen. They've hung together. They've worked hard. You know, a great group of young men. I've said that time and time again. That's one thing. We're very, very fortunate at Cobble High School. We have great kids to work with. You know, we may not have the most athletic teams that we have to face and play, but we've got some great kids that have a great work ethic, just going to make outstanding citizens in our community and good dads. And that's the kind of kids, when you coach high school football or any football, that's the kind of kids you enjoy working with. And it's an honor for me to be able to work with those type kids.
Do you ever worry about kind of all the emotions on senior night that goes on before the game and your team coming out, maybe a little flat or anything?
Well, I haven't seen that. You know, we try to get our stuff before the game, and we get it, you know, we get it out of the way, and then they're able to come in and gather themselves, so to speak, a little bit, and then get involved in the game. But it, you know, it's a time for those guys reminisce about their 4 years and look back at it, and it goes very fast for them. And you know, it just seems like yesterday those guys were just freshmen coming into our program, and I tell each group that every year, guys, it's going to go really fast. And you know, I don't think they believe it at times, and even parents, but it really goes fast. You know, I feel like our guys are mature enough. They know that it's their last home game, and it, you know, they want to perform well. They know the importance of the game. It's another region game. Get us to our 4th win in the region, which is a really good accomplishment, and go into the, you know, the last week of the season. If we can do that, then we're potential to play for maybe 3rd place in the region. So it's an important game for us.
Maynard pointed out that even though Rockville is in the first year of their program and winless on the season, that they're a team loaded with athletes and can score a lot of points, and that the Cavaliers are going to have to come out and play a good game and not turn the ball over to have a chance to win.
Pickett County opponent Red Bull and Springs has had to cancel their last few games due to lack of participation. Pickett County head coach Ray Reagan said that as of Tuesday, the Friday night's matchup is still on. He pointed out that it's Red Bulling Springs senior night and homecoming. Let's see how the Bobcats use their bye week up in Byrdstown.
Yeah, I got to get away and let the kids get away and let them get away and heal up, relax. It helped.
How much, you said you were able to, you know, let them get away. How much were y'all able to practice, or did you just give them the entire week off and just let them?
I give them the entire week off. We started back practice on Monday, so they was beat up, and I had several of them that needed to heal a little while, so I just let them kick back and heal.
So what have you seen from the Red Bull and offense? I know it's been a little while since they've played, but what have you seen from their offense that you need to take away from them this week?
Well, they run the basic wing tee. They'll ask it's pretty basic. They've got number two's a big tight end. They'll light him up back there once in a while and try to pound you. 11, he's a pretty good back. They can run the ball. We're just going to have to play good defense and stop. I think offensively we'll be fine. Defensively, like I said, you know, before, we're small up front, so we're going to have to rely on our speed and try to keep them pinned in.
And Coach, I know you have low numbers too, and you've lost some guys throughout the season, but you have to be really proud of the group you have out there for sticking it out through all the ups and downs and battling through the adversity that they've had.
Oh, yeah. I've got a good group of kids. They've grew a lot. You know, they play hurt. They play tired. They play beat up. They just get up and they keep going. They don't complain. If that group sticks together, especially, you know, all the underclassmen, of course, they stick together, they'll be special in a few years. So,
in segment four, we check in with the 5-3 White County Warriors and the 7-1 Upperman Bees. Thank you for joining us for segment four of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. After White County defeated Clay County last Thursday night, Mark Frazier's staff was able to do some live scouting last Friday night of this Friday's opponent, Macon County.
Well, to me, they do a great job formationing. You know, with my background, that's where I started. You know, the guys ran the wing T when I was learning 20-something years ago. So, and one thing they were good at was formationing defenses to try to get numbers. And that's one thing Macon does better than I've seen in a while. They do a lot of shifting and a lot of motioning. And so we've tried to simplify it where we can get guys on the right side, correct side of the field. We'll try to keep the numbers even.
You had to come back from behind again against Clay County after getting up or having an early lead. How did you think your guys played after you were able to grade that tape?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, there were some things we did well, some things we did poorly. I thought on defense, specifically in the first half, we were a little confused, and that was some of my fault. I didn't get the guys in the right spot. They've got some good football players, though, made some big plays. And then on offense, we came out, scored early, and two quick touchdowns. And then I felt like we got a little lackadaisical. We had some mental breakdowns. I know Coach Seagraves and Coach Sloan and Coach Morris, the guys over there, or Coach Wilson, all were talking about their positions not doing the correct things, going in different directions than what the play was called. So we had some mental lapses on offense. Also felt like we got ahead for the first time. We sort of laid down a little bit, and I think we've got to learn to keep consistency and intensity throughout.
So you just touched on my next question. You've not played with a lead a lot this year, but you have played from behind in every single one of your games just about. So how was it to, you know, get the lead and then lose it, but have that team keep fighting and come back?
Well, it's good. I mean, you know, that's one thing that we have done is we've been behind and came back several times to lose some close ones and win a few as well. So I've been, you know, I have no doubt now that the kids are going to keep playing. I think it's a learning experience. It was their first chance to really be ahead, and I don't think we handled it very well. And, you know, that's part of growing as a team and as a program. This program has not had a chance to be in a lot of big early leads and to continue to play with intensity. So, you know, I think we'll learn from that and hopefully get better.
And one of your big three on offense, Will Griggs, went out early, maybe the first few plays of the game with a stinger, and wasn't able to come back in.
Yeah, no doubt. He's a big loss. Will's our captain. He's a leader on offense and on defense. And to lose him was big, but the other guy stepped up. We had, obviously Jaden Richmond has been back there all year and Cedric all year. But we had some other guys with Cade Clark, who came in. He's our tight end. We put him back in the Wildcat, and he ran the ball well. Malachi Dow's a young freshman. He had a couple carries and showed a little spark there. We got Jordan Bailey, the junior. He got a couple carries. So we got some other guys involved. Hopefully we'll be back this week, but if not, you know, we got to have the next man up, continue to try to get some yardage there.
And you touched on it earlier, but Clay scored 18 unanswered from the second quarter till really late in the fourth.
You know, like I said, they're a good football team, and they got some guys that made some good plays. I'm not trying to take it away from them, but I do feel like, we had a lot to do with it. We just didn't execute. We had guys offensive line running one thing and their backs running something else. There were some mental breakdowns there, but give them credit. They made some good defensive plays, and they got after the ball. I'm just glad that at the end we got the ball back in decent field position and were able to punch it in there. And so that last drive was executed well. And, you know, that's what we got to expect more consistently from those guys.
First-year head coach at White County, what have you learned through 9 weeks of football that maybe you didn't know before the season started?
Well, how much time do you have? We could talk for a long time about that. I'll say this. I've been very lucky to be around good programs and good coaches and have a lot of head coaches that have been able to lean on and talk to, even some local guys that have been willing to help, something I've been very excited about, because you never know how guys are going to react when you call and ask questions. But a lot of guys around here been helped. Things I've learned, like I said, I could go on forever. I've been around those things. So the main things, you kind of know what you're dealing with. And luckily for us, we had a program that's got a few chances to win some games, so it makes it easier with all the extracurricular things that don't necessarily deal with X's and O's. It's been a pleasant experience for me, but I've learned several things, yes. And hopefully it'll make me a better coach and the coaching staff and players as well.
Upperman's top 10 showdown against Watertown has been moved to Thursday night at 7 p.m. due to inclement weather on Friday night. Coach Kane, what's it like for you to watch the Dutchess brothers play together?
It's really cool. You know, 30 years ago, I was on the same football team at Macaulay with one of my older brothers. So that was a unique experience. Kind of cool to see these two, get to play together and enjoy some success together. They're really, really close as well. I noticed when I first got here, each would kind of maybe get a little bit defensive if I coached one of them really hard and that sort of thing. You know, they've kind of allowed me to do my thing, and both of them are doing their thing on the field. But it is cool, and I kind of know the feeling.
So speaking of Ty, he was unstoppable for parts of the game last Friday night. He's really come on the second half of the year.
He has. You know, he's a bigger kid than most people think. You know, he's pushing 190 pounds, and you know he's got some really good speed. He's probably the one kid on our team at the running back position that can, you know, go the distance if he gets a little running room. You know, it just so happened Friday night we blocked some plays pretty well for him, and he got loose and outran him in the secondary, and he's got that kind of ability, and we hope he continues to, you know, improve.
Speaking to someone else who's starting to come along for you guys, Carter Shanks set the tone against Grundy County with an interception on the first play of the game. It seems to me like he started to make some plays.
Really good to see. You know, Carter is another sophomore, and we've got a really good sophomore class. Ty's a sophomore. Carter, Daniel Metzger's a sophomore. And, you know, Carter is a very athletic kid. You know, arguably one of the best athletes on our football team. He's got some good size, and he's learning how to play the defensive back position. You know, Friday night, he played with some good technique and was in the right spot and went up and got the ball. You know, it is very encouraging and refreshing to see our young guys start to grow up and make plays on Friday night.
And this is another big-time non-region game against Watertown.
You know, I think probably 6 or 8 months ago when we scheduled this, that's probably what we had in mind. But, you know, not looking past them, but, you know, we've got a big region game. The following week, there's been times this week when I wondered to myself, what in the world are we doing playing this number 2 ranked team in 2A, and they're really good. You know, they're going to come in here and you know, give us all we want. We know that. You know, the big key is I do think it can, you know, it kind of has the feel of a second or third round playoff game just from how good they are, but I do think it can kind of get you ready for that level of play, and hopefully that's the case. You know, you want to play in big games.
Watertown's running back is a game changer. He can score from a long way out, so priority number one is probably to try to slow him down as much as you can.
He's a fantastic back, and, you know, he's got some spin moves, and he's got good speed, and he seems to find the right holes to hit. He's done a fantastic job. We have really shown our kids on film that, you know, this is not just, your normal run-of-the-mill high school running back. You're going to have to really be committed to getting him on the ground. And then they also rotate a guy in late, number 9, who's a little bit bigger, but probably equally as elusive and runs hard and the whole deal. And then they got the quarterback. He's really come on. He's throwing the ball well. And the thing that worries me the most, he's been able to extend a lot of drives by scrambling out, getting that first down on third down. We got our hands full, no doubt about it. You know, they got a pretty good receiving core as well. Good ideas. It's really not any kind of singular focus or anything like that. You know, we're just going to have to go out and play defense and try to gang tackle.
And getting one of your better players on the entire team, Zach Stewart, back sure does help trying to contain and slow down some of that offense.
Yeah, you know, Zach's a guy we can do some multiple things with. You know, maybe bring him on a blitz or let him drop in coverage. Or it's good getting him back, kind of a physical presence for us. Hopefully he'll have some fresh legs, be able to give us some good defensive reps, and hopefully also be able to carry the ball for us.
We hope you will join us for the fifth and final segment of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders when we check in with the Clay County Bulldogs and the Stone Memorial Panthers. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of Week 10's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Let's hear what Coach Johnson had to say about facing Monterey for the Region 4 Single-A Championship, with Monterey having a bye week before playing the Bulldogs.
I guess it depends on which way you look at it. You know, anytime you can have 2 weeks to prepare for your opponent, obviously that is going to be to your benefit. You know, however, we got that extra day too. I don't know about leveling the playing field, but it definitely helped us out.
So you're really close to beating your second 5A school of the year. I know there's not really, we don't believe in moral victories, but you had to be pleased with how your guys played there, you know, in the middle part of that game, the second and third quarter and all the way up to the very end of the fourth.
Absolutely. You know, our guys hustled, they battled. But, you know, ultimately in the end, what killed us was the, couple of mistakes. But, you know, the slow start is something that was hard to recover from, especially with a team of that size.
And Monterey has a whole lot of weapons out there. Jordan Key really makes him go. He returns punts. He's our quarterback. He's a good thrower, a good runner. What are you doing to look to take away him early?
I don't know if we can necessarily take him away. We just hope to slow him down. But, I feel like the backbone, really the strength of our team, has been our defense this entire year. So that should be an interesting matchup. We've got a crew of senior linebackers. You know, we got All-State with nose guard Dalton Gold coming back and just trying to get his face, hit him early and often, and hopefully, we can try to slow him down a little.
And is this a game that you see that's really going to be won with the offense and defensive lines competing against each other?
I believe so. We are both pretty athletic, and in most games it comes down to the battle in the trenches, but this one for sure.
Monterey has a kind of several different offenses they can run out there. They can spread you out, and if you're taking that away, they're going to line up in some three-back smokestack looks and some power run stuff. So does that kind of make things a little more difficult to prepare for?
It is, and Coach Hughes does a great job. You know, the minute we try to sell out and take something else away, he's really good about finding something else to counter back again. It's definitely going to be a challenge trying to slow him down.
And Coach, this is a huge game for a lot of reasons. The region title's on the line. You're a Monterey alumni football player. What would a win Friday night mean for you and this program?
Well, I guess selfishly, being from there, you would always like to win that game. Honestly, I want it more for the kids, because they came so far. This will be the third year in a row that they made the postseason, a lot of these kids, after a long drought. On top of that, they battled. They really turned this thing around. Nothing would make me happier for them just to seal the deal and, bring football back to Clay County, which I feel like these group of guys are really, really pushed and worked to do so.
In Monterey, they are really tough to run the ball against. So what are you going to have to do to run the ball successfully, because their front seven's really stout?
Oh, yeah, they're really good. And it's going to be a challenge anyway you look at it. Something, I guess, you don't think about because we're a run-first team is, last week we did run the ball well, but we also threw for around 200 yards. And that's something, whenever you stack the box, we've got a senior quarterback and a couple good receivers on the perimeter, just trying to, get the ball out there, dink and dunk. We've not necessarily been a home run ball team, if you will, but, I thought for the most part, Jake Ashlock was incredibly effective, and I hope to see him do the same thing this week.
Stowe Memorial head coach Derek Sambers said that getting a big win over rival Cumberland County after a tough year meant a lot to him and his program.
It wasn't so much looks, Justin, as our kids just executed. I thought we had really good intensity up front, both lines of scrimmage, and I thought, they didn't necessarily match that at times. So I was more just pleased with what our kids did than anything Cumberland County was giving us.
A huge difference in the game from the box score and the stats was the third and fourth down conversions, where you guys were able to stay on the field and extend drives, and they were not.
Yeah. Well, that's something we've honestly struggled with this year, Justin, is not being able to convert on third down. In football, nothing's isolated. And so we won first and second down, as you mentioned, with the run game. So our third downs were third and twos and third and ones that are obviously much easier to convert than your third and eight and ten. So, yeah, it went back to our line up front. Playing with that intensity and executing up front allowed us to convert those third downs. And then defensively, we won first and second down and had them in a lot of third and obvious passing situations. So we're able to pin our ears back up front and go after the quarterback.
And that's something, talking to Coach Ballou this week, he said he thought you guys just outmatched them with intensity throughout the game. So when that's going on, your players can really sense that and feel that and start to take advantage of that throughout the game.
Justin, opening kickoff, we recovered a fumble. Wasn't an onside kick. They just coughed it up and we got on it. And then we actually offensively started the game with a turnover, the second turnover in the first half. I don't think we punted, or we did punt once in the second half. In the first half, we didn't punt. not. So it wasn't that we played mistake-free, but we've talked to our kids a lot about response, and that response comes not just play-to-play, but game-to-game. And it'd been a rough start to the year, certainly with Grant Bullock and his situation before the season even started. Seen a really difficult schedule, a lot of bounces hadn't gone our way. Was really proud of the way our kids responded, and that intensity did seem to snowball, and we built off of it.
What was one area from the game that you would like to clean up for next week's matchup against Smith County?
Well, turnovers. I don't know that we're going to be able to turn the ball over twice against Smith County and win the football game. And the first one was just a lack of ball security. Had a fumble, marching down the field and fumbled the football. Good effort by them to strip it when they had our back stood up. And then the other one was a shot play off of a turnover where defense got us the ball back, had something schemed up in the passing game, and quarterback threw it a little bit late, and they played it well. But we're going to have to protect the football at number one. We can't have two turnovers and beat a good Smith County team.
Offensively, Smith County runs everything through their quarterback and running back. They make a lot of plays back there. What does a game plan look like to slow those two down?
Well, it starts with tackling, Justin. Can't miss tackles, and those are two good ones. You know, there's good football teams that you see on film, and then there's athletic football teams, and Smith County's both. They're good, they're physical, but they've got a lot of athletes, and like you said, it starts with the quarterback and the running back. It starts with two and three, and our game plan, first and foremost, is to tackle.
With the win Friday night, you secured a playoff spot, if I've got my math and the standings correct. With such a young team, how important is it for you to get those extra practices and an extra game, and anything can happen in the playoffs? Somebody can have an off night, somebody can have an on night.
Well, more than likely, yeah, punched a playoff ticket, and you said it, Justin, for our seniors, it's another week of football. It's four more practices and another Friday night. You know, it's almost like at the college level, when you either make the playoffs or make a bowl game at the college level, that it's good for your young guys for development. The seniors, they bought themselves another week of football, and we're a very young team, Justin, so being able to get these young guys, these returners, another week of football and get them another week better, obviously for the playoff game, the immediate, it's another week we'll develop them for the future as well.
Thank you for joining us for the Week 10 edition of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com on Friday and Saturday morning for highlights, game recaps, and photo galleries of your favorite teams across UC Sports Nation. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge.